Welcome to Do a Blessing CNS Church London's podcast, sharing the good news weekly. We hope you are blessed by today's message.
When they do this thing in Nigeria, in those days, they say, "Shebo, we will be amen." So those who know Yoruba films, they will say, "I don't know the English, but that is what you do." Have I spoken well? Have I spoken well? You will say, "You have spoken well." Amen. So you will definitely see cable change, but please, you know, let's walk with the wordings. You know, God will grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as we go, thank you, man. I would not lie to you, personally, it sounds a bit weird, but, you know, this particular service I have been personally looking forward to all through the week. It might come as a surprise, but I am a lot more excited about this and this particular service than the other week. And you know why. But, you know, maybe because stress is what you want to never use. It's like your body can't come out of anywhere. God help us in the name of Jesus Christ. So maybe that's why. But you know, I just wanted to also say that God has been laying a particular pattern as we go. So last week, before I started the sermon, we said that we are going to look. God said we should speak around warfare and things like that. God said we should speak around warfare and things in those lines. Now last week, I don't know if anybody still remembers the vision that came out last week. I know we don't record, but at least you should remember. It is all that you're talking to. Amen. There was a pattern to that vision. One, God started with issues of sexual immorality among people. You as a person, keep yourself good. Then he went ahead and he said about somebody washing their hands in something to kind of put filth on the church. Then the last part he went to was the intention of the devil over the nation. What he was doing was that it is a part. If you He wants you to get yourself right, the church gets itself right, then the nation will be impacted. So maybe I got so much carried away more than what was actually said, but people are got so excited. But I was not following the pattern of the prophecy, and I was like, oh, you know, to me it was just good. So I've said that so that you can know where. So God said that for 7 Sundays we should pray around the nation. And the question, part of the questions you would ask yourself is that why would God bring such things to be said? Why would God ask us to lead such prayers? Sorry, I'm just going to use the slides because they didn't download the right side. Let's just go on with this. Okay, so we are looking at the gates of heaven. The gates or the assembly. We are assembling at the gates. Now, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 28,12 to 19, the Bible says he had a dream which he saw the stairways resting with the top to heaven, and the angels were descending on it. Above it stood the Lord. So that means God was standing over that ladder, and that ladder was connecting the earth. And basically he said, "I am the Lord God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendant the land which you are lying on." So, and you will begin to see that the part the part I'm going here is that, and the Bible says, and when he woke up from his sleep, He thought, "Surely this is the place." So the Lord is in this place. the Lord is in his place, and I am not aware of it. Now, in this particular scenario, God was definitely aware of where he was. The angels knew who was there. But the human entity, that is Jacob, was not aware of what was going on in there. Now, let's go on. He said, and he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is no other than the house of God, the gates of heaven. And that is where I want to kind of have some conversations around this, and I pray that God would grant us grace as we both look at these things together. Please note that in this place was in the bush, and he said, "How awesome is this place? This is no other than the house of God, the gates of heaven." What makes it go, wow, this church is great? You know, people get to the place, you say, and they see all the setting, and they go, wow, that place is awesome. But what made the place awesome was the ladder and the interaction of the things that he saw happening in that place. Now, please know, this is the first mention of what the Bible calls the house of God. So it was, I just wanted to just point that. Ina said, this is the gates of heaven. Now you will begin to see that throughout scripture, gates are used to illustrate different things. But I will begin to bring us to a point where we begin to look at the issue of gates as it relates to the kingdom of God. Let's go on, please. Now, I just want to just give a couple of things. One, this particular story, the Bible says, suppose a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, even though they are disciplined him. The Bible now says, in such a case, the father and mother must take the son to the elders as they hold courts at the town gate. Another version may say the city gate. So what you will see here is that this gate is the place where elders of the city gather. And they make a decision. They bring a case to them, and a decision is made at that place. And the Bible says the parents must say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He has refused to obey. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then the men of his town must stone him to death. In this way, you shall purge evil from among you. Please, I have highlighted these 2 points for a reason. They bring a case into the gates where the elders sit. And the elders, after hearing both sides, they make a decision. And that is how, if they want to exclude something that is bad, it is when the elders gather at the city gates and they expel it. The Bible says this is how you should take away evil from among you. Let's look at chapter 22. The Bible says, suppose a man marries a woman, but after sleeping with her, turns against her and publicly accuses her of shameful conduct, saying, when I married this woman, I discovered that she was not a virgin. The woman's father and mother must bring proof of her virginity to the elders as they hold court at the city gate. Let's go on, please. Say, the father must say, I must say to them, I gave my daughter to this man to be his wife. Now he has turned against her and accused her of a shameful conduct, saying, I discovered that your daughter was not a virgin, but here is proof of my daughter's virginity. And the Bible says that then they must spread the bed sheets before the elders. The Bible says that they must take... Amen. Hallelujah. Are you the Bible? Amen. But what I'm trying to say here, what we are looking at here is this. The city gate is the place where investigation and pronouncement is done. They bring evidence. And the Bible says the elders must take the man and punish him. The only place where they do those things, no matter what the situation is and your opinions, you bring it to the city gates, to the places where the assembly is gathered. Are we together? Sorry for the graphic. Can you read the Bible? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go on, please. Then he now set up, he now turns around to the man, to the woman with the man, is accusing her wrong, but if it's a lie, this is what they would do, this is what they would do, this is what they would do. Let's just quickly go to verse 24, please, just because of our time. The Bible says, he now went to the gate and said, in this way will you put evil from among you. So what have we established? When a decision is about to be made of how to treat an issue, no matter what the issue is, they bring it to the city gate. And that is the place they make decision. Either this thing stays or it goes. Do we get to that point? Amen. Amen. Let's go on, please. Just wanted to point out a couple of things. Now, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 23. The Bible talks about the woman, the virtuous woman, and her husband. It says her husband is well known at the city gate. The Bible says, where he sits with other civic leaders. Why did NLT call it civic leaders? Is that these are people that when it comes to decisions of how the country works, they are the ones that make the decision. They are the one that makes the decision. Amen. Let's go on, please. Now, this is a picture of an ancient gate. City gate. So you can see that it's not just a gate that people go in and out, but there is a room where they hold council at that place. It's almost like, if you've been to Nigeria, you see what I'm saying. When you want to enter your estate gate, there is the newspaper stand where all the all the fathers of the seat of the any. Most of the issues that they want to decide in the United States, when they are reading papers, they will say, this is what we are doing. So, at this gate is where decisions are made. At this gate is where decisions are made. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus. Let's go on, please. Now, the Bible also talks further, just trying to lay emphasis on this gate issue that you would see the impact and what it means. Before we now go to Jesus, now introducing that same gate. So you would see here the Bible says, it says wisdom is crying aloud. He said from the top of our voice in public square. He said on the top she cries out at the city gates where she makes her speech. So what we are establishing is that gate is where decisions are made, and that decision has great impact. That decision has great impact. Let's go on, please. Now, there was this story of Ruth. There was a man that was supposed to give her was supposed to take her in, because in those days, when a woman's husband dies, the family takes responsibility over her. So this man said, no, because what will happen is that if I marry her and she gives birth to a child for me, that's because my brother did not have a child, that child will now be in the name of my brother. So assuming so what if I'm not lowly all the investment I make on that child, you will not be bearing another man's name. I know. He now said that he was saying that because I might be, I might endanger my own estate. So he said, I cannot be having children for another person, another person's name. And when they are not going to be reading that this boy went to Harvard, this boy did this, they will say that who is his father? He said, the one that died. He said, I don't do those kind of things. So what the Bible now said was that Boaz now stood up and said, okay, I will take it over. But the problem is that there were legal issues that needed to be resolved. So Boaz now took the case to the elders at the gates. Let's go on, please. Yes. So he said, and he announced to the elders and all the people, today you are witnesses. That means that at the gates, there are people who stand as witness. And the Bible says that, he was talking about what he has done and things like that. And he said, today you are witness. Let's go on, please. I'm just jumping scriptures. And the Bible says, then the elders and all the people at the gates said, we are witnesses. Now, they now did not stop there. What he told them was that, you just be witness of what is about to happen. And they should have said, we are witnesses. But they did not stop them. The Bible says, they said that may the Lord make the woman coming into your home like Rachel and Leah together, and who together built up a family of Israel. He said, may you have a standing in Ephrata and be famous in Bethlehem. That means you. What they're saying is that we are decreeing that your name will not be wiped out. Does that make sense? Now, he now said, through the offspring that the Lord gives you by this young woman, your family will be like Perez and like Tamar before who bore Judah. Now, what they are saying is wrong, because normally, if his name should not be involved at all, that is the decision, that is the law. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. That is decision, that is the law. Is that your name is not involved in anything at all. Now, let me take us to the scriptures. As you begin to see how the scripture began to document this story. Let's go to Matthew. Now, this is genealogy. Who gave birth to who? Now, please look at, verse 5. He said, Salome, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. I hope you understand what I'm saying. The decision, the actual thing that should happen was that we are witnesses, so don't worry. But that child can never bear your name. But when the council sat at the gate, they said that we declare that your name over this child will be known. So many years later, all of them that sat at that table were gone. Matthew was not writing the genealogy as God was inspiring him. God said, no, that is what, when we checked the file at the gate, a decision was made that overrides this position. Show you about it. I put this on. Amen. So, what I'm trying to say to you is that at the gate, decisions are not only made, they can rewrite a process and say, this is how we go about it. And even if those people are not there again, they have a clamor for request. There is and I'll get there. There are people taking minutes of what is happening at the gates. So we saw that even though his name should not be there, because the gates has made a decision, they had to write his name in. Let's go on now. That is why Jacob came and Jacob said, how awesome is this place? It is the house of God, the gates of heaven. So when he was talking about gates, it was not necessarily a open and closed door. It was a place where he saw as an assembly was gathering in that place. Let's go on, please. Now, I want to link two things together as we proceed. Timothy said, I want to teach you how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So what does that mean? The house of God is the same thing referred to in the New Testament as the church. What Jacob saw was the house of God, the gates of heaven. Now, Timothy is telling us, Paul is telling Timothy, the house of God is the same as the church of God. Now, this is important as we look at this thing well. Let's go on here. Now, when Jesus was going to introduce the church, Jesus said, I said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So, if I were to translate this, what he's saying is that the gates of God cannot be overrun by the gates of hell. Do we agree to that point? Are we cool? Okay. Now, question. If I say, I am going to buy, if I tell you that, Atalalu, I'm going to build I'm going to build a rabba 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 rabba, but the gate of hell will not be. You said that. Well, what is he talking about? Why I'm saying this is that church was never used in the Old Testament. So when Jesus used the word church, where did he get the word from? Why did nobody challenge him and say, excuse me, what do you mean by church? It is you that you think church is normal now. In those days. Now, please note that Jesus did not say, I will build my synagogue. They would have been aware. But he said, I will build my church. So, what I'm trying to say is that when he was talking to his disciples, they understood what he was saying. So the question would be, what did the disciples understand when Jesus said, I will build my church? Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Is that a valid question? Say that, excuse me, sir, what are you talking about? What is church? We've never heard of it before. Now, I want you to know that in the days of Jesus, they were under the occupation of Romans. So they spoke, it's like in Nigeria, we speak Yoruba and we can speak English. English is the colonial language. So in those days, there were languages that they spoke, which they knew, but most of the speaking of Jesus was done in Aramaic, which is their local language. But that does not mean he doesn't understand other languages like every other person does. So what I want first of all say is that this word church is not a spiritual word. It was something that referred to something that Jesus wanted them to know. Please, Emma Bino, when we were talking before, we were talking about gates. And what did we say gates are? They are places where the elders gather and make decision. Can I have the next slide, please? God bless you. Now, this is the picture of the gates of hell. When Jesus took them there. When he said the gate of hell, it was a particular place he was pointing at. But that was the place where people used to go and worship different idols that they brought to Israel. So the non-Jews were gathering at this place when Jesus said, when I build my church, these gates will not be able to stand. That means that this gate that you're saying, there's a God that they used to, if you go to Israel, you see them there. So they take animals and they throw it inside it. So the God swallows it and things like that. But just wanted to just show you that when Jesus was taking them, he was talking about a particular place. But let's come on back, please. No, let's not just... Now, there was a slide I had Now, please, there's something God questions. It's a Christian website where they do a lot of explanation on Christian things that you read in the Bible. So the Bible says the understanding of ecclesia spells that it is an important component of understanding the church. Now, the ecclesia is a Greek word a call that assemble or a congregation. So you will see that when the Bible talks about church, it's talking about what the Greek will call ecclesia. So when Jesus must have spoken to them on that day, he would have called it ecclesia. Because that was the language. We have translated it to church. Now, please, I'm coming to this so that you can, God help us in Jesus' name. So, now, this is Wikipedia. Ecclesia itself, what is ecclesia itself? He said ecclesia is an ancient Athens, particularly well known. He said it is a popular assembly open to male citizens who are qualified by citizenship. Now, he said this assembly was responsible for declaring war, a military strategy, electing strategies, that was in their own language, and other officials. It was responsible for nominating magistrates, thus indirectly selecting members of their parliament. He said they had final say on legislation, the right to call magistrates to account after many years in office. So when Jesus was describing ecclesia, he was talking about an assembly that when they gather, they can make decisions on what is happening in the environment. Does this make sense? So when Jesus said church, he was referring to the gates, the way the gates used to constitute the gates, where everybody sits down and a decision is made. This is what we will do, this is what we will not do. In this land, this is what we will accept, this is what we will not accept. Can I have the slides going on, please? Just go back up, we'll come back to that. Now that is why, go on please. Is that the 18? So just go up, please, sorry. 16, Matthew 16, I believe. Or where did we, amen. Now, please note, if you followed me well, When I was describing the gates, there were two things that they could do. They assembled and made decision, and they determined what stays and what goes. That's why Jesus said, and the gate of heaven will not prevail over. He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What was the gate used for? The Bible says this is the way you will put evil out of your environment. So when Jesus was establishing the church, he was saying exactly the same thing, that as the ecclesia gathers to sit, they will have the right to determine what happens. Whatever they gather and they agree on earth is agreed in heaven. Whatever they lose on earth is loosed in heaven. Does this make sense? Let's go on, please. Just quickly. Matthew 18. This is the second time that Jesus spoke about the church. Jesus only spoke about church twice. One was when he introduced Peter to it. The second time, now, what we are trying to, please note that when Jacob was sleeping and he saw the ladder going up and down, he saw God and angels. What does that mean? When the ecclesia of God is gathering, they are not the only ones sitting down. To you now, you think that we are the only one here. But when the ecclesia is sitting, when a council is called, they are not the only one gathering. There are angels gathering with them. That is why when the ecclesia made a decision at the gates about Boaz, everybody died. When they all grew old, they died. But the angels that wrote that thing, they said, no, this is how you write it. Because when the ecclesia is gathering, there is, that is why when Jesus was saying, and now this is, Jesus was saying that, he said, he was talking about church discipline. He said, if the person, please, what are the two things that we said gates do? They make a decision and they take away anything. So the Bible says that if he refuses to listen, tell it to the church. In the terms of Jesus, ecclesia, a gathering. He now said, if they refuse to listen, treat them as you would do a pagan and tax collector. What does that mean? Take them out. Let's come on, please. Jesus now said, verily I say unto you, the same thing as soon as he finishes the word about church. He said, you need to realize that as an ecclesia, when you gather, he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be loose in heaven. He said, I tell you again, if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done by my Father in heaven. He now said, for where two or more are gathered in my name. That means that we are not just talking about anything at all. Because that ecclesia, somebody is chairing the meeting. So it is Jesus that is, you are praying along, so you are praying according to his will. So he now said that, he said, the reason why God will answer you is because when you gather, I am sitting in your midst. We are the ones, ecclesia is meeting, and Jesus is sitting in their midst. Does this make sense? Amen. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, the replica of ecclesia, as we have them in this UK, aside from church, politically, is the parliament. So, when the parliament, listen, when the parliament is next to him, when the parliament is coming in, they would always carry the mace, which is like the symbol of authority. Basically, they're saying, ecclesia is about to start. We are gathering in the name of the queen and the king, right? The king and the authority of England. So as they are going, this represents a seal. So as they are going on, now let me bring it a little bit home. I'm not saying this is what it depends on, you know, but in our food, that's why when the cross is proceeding, everybody must honor the cross that's proceeding. That's why when the gathering is about to start, the cross goes out first. Because what is happening is that what you are saying is that the assembly is about to start. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, when that is why you would see that those who are officials in the present parliament, and I can go through scriptures with us, just I just wanted to use this as an easy way for us to, you begin to see that this man, this is the order, this is the man that makes, that controls and makes, that is why after the cross, the last person coming in, or before the pastor, he's the church, he's the leader of service, because he's the one. If you want me to go to scriptures, we can. I'm just using this for you as an easy explanation for you to see how these things are ordered. And let's go just before that. And when the parliament gathers, they place the cross. Sorry, they place the maize in their center. That is why in the CNS book, the whole cross goes to the altar. And until when the cross sits, nobody sits. Because what we are doing is that we are gathering the assembly. So when the leader of service starts the service and he rings the bell, he's saying, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What he's doing that is calling an assembly together. It is not only you. There are people gathering with us, beings gathering with us, that as those bells happen, what you are doing is that you are calling an assembly together. Now, in other churches, there could be different dimensions of where this thing goes, but you would always see it in every pattern of the church. It may not be as pronounced, but you will see it. Because when the ecclesia starts, there are, it is, what the challenge now is that when we observe this thing religiously, but we have lost the understanding of what is happening, that thing just becomes a weight. Does that make sense? So God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's go on, man. Sorry. Now, we said ecclesia, they gather, they make decision, and they can decide to retain or chuck out. I have gone further to tell you that when ecclesia meets, Jesus said, in my name. And one of the ways we do is that when the bell goes, it is like an assembly is called. That's why when the service finish, the bell goes again, saying that we are bringing to close this assembly in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So, Paul said, for my part, even though I am not physically present within the spirit, as one who is present with you in this way, I have already passed my judgment. So I've already passed my judgment in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, of our Lord Jesus, the one on the one who has been doing this. He said, so when you are assembled. He's saying that when the ecclesia is called, he said, I am with you in the spirit and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is present. What he's saying now, once the assembly gathers, God is in their midst. He now said, hand this man over to Satan. The problem was that there was this man in the church that was sleeping with his father's wife, Abby, yeah, father's wife, and they were talking to him. He was saying, no, he's not, look, are you like you? My father said, no, we will deal with you. That's why Timothy said, be careful how you behave in the church. But I am not talking about putting anyone, I'm trying to show you the weight of when an ecclesia scatters. This man was later brought him back to the church, just to let you know. But this is another kind of teaching, but I just wanted to show you that ecclesia from the Old Testament to the New, once they gather and a quorum is formed, a decision that is made is binding. Let's go on. Now, Ananias, Acts chapter 5, verse 2 to 5, there's a man called Ananias and Sapphira. They sold something and they kept their portion back. Who did they lie to? They lied to Peter. Peter was not sitting down. Now, see what Peter said. The Bible says, and Peter said, how is it that Satan has filled your heart up, that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself the money you have received, you received for the land? Peter was conscious that when ecclesia was gathering, there were other manifestations of God. So when a man is lying to whoever it is, maybe the pastor, and you're saying, give me, okay, but you are, Peter was conscious that the point that you think I'm the one standing, that's Peter. You think I'm the one tired, you think you are talking to me. But what you are ignorant of is that that assembly, there are other people there that are taking notes. So the Bible says, let's go on with this. The Bible says, he said, you know, and the Bible says, he said, you made, what made you think of such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. What he said is that you think that when you are gathered like this, you are the only one here. He said, but what you have not realized is that there is somebody in that gathering. That when ecclesia is gathering, one is gathering with them. And the Bible says, as soon as he fell down and died, the same thing happened to his wife. That's why I tell people, no matter how challenging it may be, a man should be conducive to me. Don't cover your partner in sin. Say, hey, no, can you go? I think it's like that, you know. Tell yourself the truth. Even if you have to cover, call and say, well, I know what you did is wrong. What he did not do is that he packaged and was, ah, no. Even though you know in your heart that you have done wrong, keep your home. But please find a very lovely time to tell your partner the truth. Because on those days, God will spare your home. But this, when you say, I used to be part of a place that, oh, there was, you know, husband will be shouting on something, you know, the wife will be shouting on top of her voice. You cannot speak. This thing is obvious. Everybody knows. Rather than at least keeping quiet, I'm trying to call your partner and say, Mama, let's just leave this place. Let's just leave this place. And God say, no, you control not share. Okay, there, God. God help God grant us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Bible says that. So let's go on, please. Just hallelujah. Okay. Bible says, so all I'm saying to us is this. When ecclesia gathers, it is not just only us. Solomon understood this. Solomon said that if we have somebody that has done something wrong. No, he said when, let's just go into it. He said when somebody wrongs his neighbor and is required to take a oath, and they come and swear before the altar in this temple. Basically, somebody say, I am innocent. God, he said, hear from heaven at heart. Judge between them. What he's saying is that when you gather and you begin to say, XYZ, and things like that. What he's saying is that he said, vindicate the innocent by treating them according to their innocence. What Solomon was saying is that in the temple, when they gather, there is somebody there that is making decisions. We are almost done. Let's go to, that is why Hebrews was saying to us, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22-24. He said, but you have come to Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to a thousand upon thousand angels in a joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to the judge of all. What was Paul, Solomon talking about? When they come and people are, priests may not be there, but they're just talking to them, I know that what I'm doing. I said, you are the judge then. Just do the judgment. He said, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better than the blood of Abel. What this picture is saying to us is this. What the scripture is saying to us is this, is that there is a gathering that when we gather together and an assembly is called, certain things can be achieved within that assembly. These are reasons why the Bible will say, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. Because once an assembly is called, you are expected to attend. If you have an MP that doesn't go for city, or a senator that doesn't go for city, that is why the Bible makes certain pronouncements about the gathering of Christians. It is not only, the church has two functions. It equips the people according to Ephesians chapter 4, but in all or three functions, but the second one is that it stands as an ecclesia to make a decision on what God wants on earth. That's why when Jesus says, when you pray, pray this way, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is the job of the ecclesia. So when you miss sitting, either weekly or whatever it is, and they are saying, Koromo, wait. I beg of you, don't miss meetings by just saying, I don't feel like it. There's no MP that sits at home saying, I don't feel like it. Because what is gathering is how. So when God said that last week to us, that we will confess the environment, he says the church will begin to pray. What he's saying, let my ecclesia gather. We have decisions to make on what happens to this land. The last scripture I'm going to share with us as we pray. Let's go with the last scripture. This is the scripture. He said, I was afraid. How awesome is this place? There is no other than the house of God, the gates of heaven. The Bible said, early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on it. Some of us, your position in Ecclesia, you have used it for your own comfort. The altar that God gave to, the altar that he could have used to connect and bring his own portion into Ecclesia, he uses as a pillar. Some of us, we are saying, the kingdom of God is not rising on this land. And God is saying, your whole contribution in the Ecclesia, you have turned it to bed. It is about, see, what God is saying, that thing that you are using for your own comfort. There are certain things that, me, I don't joke with my, certain movies I don't joke about. This series, I must watch them. My time is on this series. My time is dedicated to certain things. I don't joke. I will do church, but I need certain space in my life. Self-care. Yeah. Self-care. Amen. I love my sleep. All this vigil, I'm not interested. This will do it. He made a decision to take that pillow and turn it to another. What are you using as a pillow for your own comfort rather than gathering it in the Ecclesia to raise an altar for God? That is the reason.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. Have a blessed week.